Well, to begin with, I think it increased really, and we were all the time working towards recognition, you know, except that we were on a lost cause there because, you know, social work training has to be based in approved academic establishments and places like National Children's Home and an agency that worked with unmarried mothers. They had their own training courses, but they had to, you know, they had to draw theirs in and put their people on approved courses. But for the purposes of officership training, it was useful to have an introductory social work course. When I first went there, my brief was to develop a basic course in human relations and then in pastoral counselling. And after I had a year at Birmingham University and doing a diploma course, I then developed the human growth and development, social services, mental illness, the basic training with appropriate practical training. And I suppose really all the time there was an increase in professionalism, and all the time people wanted more training. You know, they're always treading on your heels for more. Yes, and also we were acted as tutors and supervisors to those who were doing the government courses, you know, the CSS course. And some went on to do diploma courses. Don't think I would say negatives, but I would say there were great sort of challenges and lots of demands, you know, financially. Of course, it's very expensive to have people on courses generally, but demanding for the Salvation Army. But the army moves, you know, it is on the side of education and progress and professionalism. And really, it is a kind of twin thing. We keep our Christian emphasis, which is very, very important to us, but we know that professionalism, similarly, is the compliment we pay our people. They deserve to be dealt with by people who know what they're doing. Well, we think it's a tremendous advantage, but we hang on. You see, our children's home work, we really did have successful children's home work. I know that at any time something big could blow up and, you know, really shake the foundations, but thankfully nothing did in our children's homes. And of course, the government, local authorities are very reluctant to use residential care. I mean, it is extremely expensive. I think we've only got one children's home now. We had a number of children's homes, but local authorities just did not. They used their own homes, or they put children in foster home. But our children's homes were very successful, and many children are better suited to the less intense emotional atmosphere of a children's home than a foster home. And a good children's home is, which I believe many of ours were. Well, we've had a good record with children and teenagers, thankfully. Uh-huh. And of course, elderly care work is so massively expensive because there are so many government requirements, and it is. I think much of our work has to be supplemented in that the amount that we get from local authorities is not sufficient to meet the standards they put upon us. You know, the sheer physical standards that are put. I mean, at one time, wealthy people would leave us big houses and we would have three and four people in one bedroom, you know. But now, of course, it's all en suite, single rooms with en suite. And hostels, you see, we've aimed to replace all our huge dormitory men's hostels by smaller units with single rooms and, of course, a social work program, a resettlement program, follow-down programs. But it has meant we deal with less people, fewer people. But naturally, you know, if you've had a 400 bed hostel, and now it would be about 80 perhaps when we've replaced them. We've been able to replace the big unsuitable properties by working in partnership with the Salvation Army Housing Association, which gets government money, And that has been an enormous help as far as the actual physical surroundings into which we take people.